Today is for us like a World Mission Sunday, and the focus is going to be on southern India, which is where I'm flying out to tomorrow afternoon. Southern India has a lot in common with the description of Athens in the early first century. It is a place where there is a very different religious situation to here, and all sorts of shrines and temples and gods and ideas. And we're going to have a little bit of a focus on South India now, and some photos on the screen of one or two from the last visit we made, which I think was 5 years ago. Also, there is a little home group extra study for any of the home groups who'd like to have it. This could also serve as a prayer sheet for anyone who'd like to pray for us while we're out there. They're on the shelf at the back there with quite a few other studies as well. I think we've done the first five or so of John's Gospel now. Now, at St. George's, we're very pleased to have two World Mission Partnerships, which are direct partnerships. I know lots of churches are linked with mission partners through mission agencies, and we are too with some. Agencies like SAMS and CMS and Crosslinks and OMF do a good job. But in the last 10 years, we've worked on direct partnerships in northwest Argentina and in South India, Tamil Nadu. And direct is better in some ways. One way is information. Now we've got emails and Facebook and all the rest of it. Information sharing is very direct and easy. And it's not filtered. And we find out more in that way by having direct contact. Another advantage is that our giving goes all to its target. There's no expensive middle person or administrative cut for an organization or office. Also, we feel a bit more connected, I think, if we get to know the people in a different way. And our prayer is better informed. For all these sorts of reasons, we're glad to have these two partnerships which are direct. Now, when you have a direct partnership, you also need to put in place one or two other things, including a visit now and then to check the money has been spent well and to get to know the people well face to face, which then enables the emails to work better as well. So that's what this visit is about. My visit tomorrow is for 2 weeks. I'm going to southern India, flying into Madras, or Chennai as it's called now. On Tuesday morning, I'll arrive. I've got the rest of Tuesday and then Wednesday to prepare for the preaching conference, which I'm leading together with the Vicar of Barnston and Pensby on the Wirral. And the two of us on Thursday, Friday, Saturday will lead a preaching conference for about 80 independent pastors, is probably the best way of putting it. And then I'll be going to Pastor Stephen's church in a little village called Mukurambakkam, 2 hours north of Madras, on Sunday for their Sunday service. Coming back to Chennai in the evening, and then taking another trip 2 hours south to Mary's School on Monday morning. And then I'll be dropping Peter off for his flight back. And the next day, well, the rest of the time actually isn't all that well planned as far as I'm aware. I'm relying on arrangements being made at the other end. But I'm hoping to go up country, about 20 hours on a train inland, and to look at the possibilities for a further partnership. Now, let's see some pictures, if we may, of the last time we went. This is Mary's School. That's one of the classrooms. And actually, the story behind that is that Mary's school is improving a lot. That's me. Still have blackboards, but they're very good. I think I'm writing something for them to read. What does that say? Have I spelt my name right? Yeah. And I'm grateful to Andrew Liddy, who went with me last time, for these photos. They're out in the playground, saying hello to some of the children at playtime. And there, stop there if you would, Dave. There you can see Mary on the left, and she's the head of that school. She started the school about 15 years ago in a mud hut in this village that she discovered didn't have schooling for the children. And she started with 13 sort of nursery age children and the help of an American woman who wanted to help in India. The two of them started the school, and in time they were allowed to build a building with the help of an American church on some land in the village. And that's where we came in about 9 years ago. The school had reached about 50 or 60 children, and the owners of the land had decided that they wanted to sell, which would have been the closure of the school. It also would have been Mary made homeless, because she lived in a little room, two rooms on the end of the schoolroom. And so at that stage, I was really grateful for the response of this church. We raised £12,000, bought the land and the schoolroom, the little flat as well, and a trust was set up at their end by that chap in the middle. He was an advocate, a barrister in the Madras law courts, until about 20 years ago he heard the Lord's call to go and start a church in one of the slums in Madras. So he's a pastor in Madras with a lot of legal expertise. He set up a trust, and the school has gone from strength to strength, has about 150 pupils and does a good job, and now has a very good set of buildings, including a chapel and a much better little flat for Mary on the roof where she's a bit safer. And there is a church that meets in the chapel on Sundays. Let's see one or two more. Yes, you can see Mary's school is much better appointed than it was. We'll keep going. The same three people. All right. This was Andrew. I didn't. Oh, there he is. You get a feel for the place. Now, this is. Stop there if you would. This is the preaching conference. So it'll be in a hall very like this, if not the same one, that we start a conference on Thursday. Kingdom Builders is the title they use for it, so that pastors know what they're coming to. And I'll tell you the story of this one as well, actually. This is what started my involvement in a partnership in South India. I went to theological college in Durham, and one of my friends there, a chap called Mark, was, until last year, a vicar in a place just north of Derby. And it was a place that had quite a good website. And one day on the website, the webmaster contacted Mark and said, "We've got this strange little message from someone in India." I'm inclined to just put it in the bin, but maybe you'd like to see it. So Mark said, "Oh, well, just send it down. I'll see what it says." And it said something like, in flowery Indian English, "Ah, oh, Mr. Reverend Mark, we would love you to come to our country to help us with the Bible." And he thought it was a scam, really, because there are quite a lot of scams around. He prayed about it, and in the end decided he would go and visit and see what it was they were looking for. And his church wouldn't support him because they really thought it was a scam and they thought he was being stupid. But he went anyway under his own steam, turned up in Madras, half expecting he might be put in the back of a van and taken somewhere and stripped of his belongings and left there. But no, he was put in the back of a van and taken to a place where there are 200 Tamil pastors praising the Lord and wanting him to teach them about the Bible all day, dawn till dusk. They've got quite a lot of energy out there, and it's very inspiring. Mark came back and said, I think there's a bit of a project here, rang round his friends and said, anyone like to join in? And so I said, well, yes, I'll join in. And so it became a partnership between the church I was in then and Mark's church, and then when we moved here, a similar partnership. The backstory of all this was that there's a group of independent pastors there who were very disturbed one year by a visit from one of these big, flashy American evangelists to their city. And this evangelist had been talking about, don't know if you're aware, sort of preaching about health and wealth, prosperity. And if you just pray and have faith, the Lord will give you loads of money and good health. And the leaders recognized that this had brought great confusion and disturbance among their congregations. And they thought, what can we do about it? The people won't take any notice of us because they think the Americans are it. You know, they're very pro-Western things in Indian culture at the moment. And so one of them had a bright idea at a prayer meeting one day. I've got the answer, he said. If we get someone from Britain to come and tell us something else, then that might help us forward. And so that's what they decided. And then it was not long after that Pastor Stephen, who lives in a little village 2 hours north of Madras, but came in on his little scooter once a fortnight to beg and borrow things for his village and his church, and also paid half an hour of internet in a little internet cellar. I was going to call it an internet cafe, but it's not. It's not. It's that would give the wrong impression. And he paid for half an hour. And one time he arrived at the terminal he'd been given for half an hour and logged on, and the previous user had left a church website on the screen. And so he looked at this website and he said, oh, Bible, you know, and Bible teaching. And he thought, this is what we need. This is what we'd been praying for. So he sent a message to this church and their website in Derby. And that's how Mark received the invitation to come. So that's the backstory of this. Let's just go through these pictures. There's the music group. Can you see the little chap on the floor? He's the drummer. Really clever Indian drumming, the Indian style, the tabla drums. He's also blind, but he's got a real ministry playing the drums. He's actually pastor of a blind congregation. Yep, do carry on. Oh, yeah, that's the young chap I went with last time who helped with the preaching conference, Dave. He's now a vicar in London, I think, in Finchley. And you can see, or you could see in that picture, somebody translating next to him, because that's how we do it. Oh, there he is, yep, the one translating. Carry on, thanks, Dave. Yeah. That didn't really work, but I had a go. There we are. And there's what I'm looking out at as I'm preaching. The men and women of Madras, lots of independent pastors and training pastors. Here's an artistic presentation. There's a group from one of the churches that does these drama things, and they brought it along to inspire the pastors and just show them what might be possible. Because like Peter and Julie bring their story trails to different churches in the area here, they were offering this piece of drama to take it out to different places in Madras if people wanted it. That's Jesus on the cross. Oh, that's the end of the conference when they start giving out the gongs, and that means you get given bits of cloth. Oh, that's Madras. That's the sort of vehicle that we try and get around in. That's a Christian driver, because he's got Praise the Lord on his hood. And then this is back to Mary's school. That's a communion service going on the Sunday with their choir on one side. The village that they live in is quite a traditional village, so you'll see the church congregation has got women on one side and men on the other, which is what they do in the culture there. There we are. Oh, that's a stop there. That's the offering. They sing a hymn and people take it in turns to come out and put something in the box. The first time I was there, someone brought a chicken and put it on the box. But things are getting better, a bit better in India now with the economy. And you can see there's a little thing with notes in that people have managed to bring out. That's not to say there's a lot of money there, because their notes are very small denomination. They don't really have many coins. And that's, don't know what's going on there. And that's outside afterwards. That's visiting, that's a sort of old Hindu temple shrine thing that's not far from Mary's school. Very old, that. That's pre-10th century, I think. Oh, and that's the welcome. You come across, children at school do rangolis, don't they? And that was the rangoli that welcomed us last time. They've certainly changed style over the years as well. They look much more Western now than they used to when we first went. Oh, there's a bit of a singing dance presentation going on from the school, one of the groups in the school. There's a little chap looking a bit bored. There's a little girl looking a bit perplexed, I think. But there's the school there in assembly. They're very good at these arty things. And one of the ways in which Mary has built up the school is to, you know, use some of the traditional dances in that area. And there I am saying a few things with the help of a translator, doing a sermon there. And we're back to the start. So hopefully that gives you a feel for the visit and the work that we've been in partnership with. One of the things I wanted to say, and part of the reason for my visit as well, Mary's school now is well appointed. It's got all the buildings it needs to be a good school in India. And so I'm thinking it might be a time for us to look for a new focus of our partnership. I know that people care a lot for Mary's school, and so we'll still send occasional gifts from those in our congregation here who wish to continue. But maybe the main focus of the giving of our church council might be to a more needy situation in India. And I've heard about a situation, 20 hours journey inland, up in the hills, which is a very difficult place to do Christian mission, but good people are doing good work, and we may be able to be in a place to help that work. So please pray. Lots of travel, 2 days to prepare the conference, 3 days to do it, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 1 day up country on Sunday with Pastor Stephen in Mookerambakkam, 1 day down at Mary's School on Monday, and then in the second week, I'm hoping 4 or 5 days up country, encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ, discovering their progress and difficulties, so that our prayers might be more informed and our partnership more fruitful.